I was thinking about what to share this morning, and I was praying about it. I kept coming back to the story of Jonah. At Wyoming, every evening, all the groups, they head up to the campfire, and they spend time going through the story of Jonah. And even though I've heard that story so many times, I feel like every time I go through the story, I'm always challenged and encouraged. And I feel like the Lord is always just showing me something new. And so I wanted just to share a few of those thoughts with you guys this morning. And hopefully you too can be challenged by some of these things. So I'm mostly going to be in chapter 4 of Jonah. But before I start in chapter 4, I wanted to just give us a quick background of the book and just remind us of a few things that are happening in the story so far. So in chapter 1, it starts off, and we see that God, he goes to Jonah, and he says, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are." So God, he goes to Jonah, and this is in the time of the judges, and so Jonah, he is a prophet, and so God is wanting to send him to Nineveh, and he's wanting to communicate a message to Nineveh. So a couple things about Nineveh that I want to point out that I think for the story to make sense. One is that they were Assyrians. So Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. So that meant for Jonah and for the Israelites that Nineveh would have been their enemies. They would have been the ones that they were constantly at war with. Another thing is that the word says that they were a wicked city. Nineveh was known throughout history for just how cruel they were, the ways that they tortured their enemies. And they were just also a very worldly city. And so these are the people that God has called Jonah to go to. So then it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish." So Jonah, he says no thanks. He would rather not go to his enemies. He doesn't want to be killed. So we see that he runs in the opposite direction and he gets on the ship. And when he's on the ship, it says the Lord sends this great storm. And so everyone, they are at the point and they're fearing for their life. The storm is getting really bad. And they find out that Jonah is fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. So they wake Jonah up, and eventually they cast lots to see why this storm is happening, and it falls on Jonah. And so the sailors, they start to question him a little bit, and they say, "What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. So the sailors, they find out that Jonah, he's running away from the God of the land and the sea. And so they're super afraid. And so eventually Jonah is thrown overboard. And as he's sinking to the bottom of the ocean, we see that God sends this fish. And it swallows Jonah up. And it says that Jonah, he spends 3 days in the belly of this fish. And then eventually he prays out to the Lord. And it says, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So then in chapter 3, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh.'" So we see that God, he doesn't forget about what he told Jonah. Just because Jonah ran in the opposite direction and it's been a little bit of time, we see that God, he still wants this message to go to Nineveh. And so he says to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." So this time Jonah goes, and it says that it takes him 3 days to go through the city. And as he's going through it, he's announcing the judgment of the Lord. And then a really amazing thing happens in the story. It says the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. So really an amazing thing happens. It says that everyone believes God. right up from the highest king to the lowest slave, it says that everyone believes what Jonah is saying and they believe God. So then it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do. And so that leads us to chapter 4. The book of Jonah, it could have ended with chapter 3. It would have been kind of a nice ending to the story. Jonah didn't want to go, but eventually he goes, and everyone believes, and that could have been the end. But we see that there's a whole nother chapter where God, he's going to start to question Jonah's thinking. Because even though Jonah, he went, we're going to see that his heart is still pretty far from the Lord's. So if you guys haven't already, you can turn to Jonah chapter 4. And I'm just going to go a little bit slower and just go verse by verse through this chapter. And hopefully a few of these things, we can just be encouraged and challenged by them. So it starts off in verse 1. And it says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. So instead of Jonah being super encouraged by what God has been doing so far, it says that he's angry. You know, you think that Jonah would be praising the Lord for how he used him, even though he didn't want to go. He eventually goes, and everyone believes God, and they're all saved. But we see that to Jonah, it seemed wrong, and he became angry. And I think that's because, Jonah, he didn't want Nineveh to be saved. He just wanted them to be wiped out. And it also just seemed wrong. You know, they are an evil and a wicked city. So why would God save these people? So it says that he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? And that is why I ran away to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. So most times when you see a verse like that, you would see it in the Psalms, where someone is praising the Lord for how loving he is, how compassionate he is. But here we see that Jonah is actually mad that God is so good. He's mad that God is so loving and that he turns back from destroying people. But when you think about it so far in this story, the person who has received the most grace from God, the person who God has been, loving towards a lot in this story has been Jonah. You know, Jonah has been disobeying God. He's been running from him. But we see that God, he forgives him. He gives him another chance. And even right now, Jonah, he's calling him out. And so Jonah, I think what we see here is that Jonah's putting himself in a different category than these evil people of Nineveh. He's seeing himself as a pretty good person, that he's part of the people of God. But Nineveh, they are evil. They are a wicked people, and they don't deserve God's love. But Jonah, he doesn't understand that we're all sinners before God, that none of us deserve his love, and that God has shown Jonah so much grace and so much love. So Jonah continues on. He says, therefore, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah, he takes it one step farther and he just says, if this is what God is going to do, if he's going to save these people, then Jonah doesn't want any part in it. He doesn't want to be part of this. He just wants to die. And we see here that Jonah, he's being more loyal to the Israelites and his country and his people than he is to God and what God is calling him to do. And it says, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? So the Lord, he simply asked Jonah a question. He doesn't, just strike him down dead for the way that he's acting. He doesn't just, get angry with him, but he simply asks him a question. Like we often see God doing throughout scripture, like with Adam and Eve, he asked them a question. With Cain, he went to him and just asked him a question. And we see here that God, he's wanting to get Jonah to think, and he's giving him a chance to kind of start to think through his actions. So we don't get any response from Jonah. It just says, then Jonah went out to the east side of the city, and he made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. So Jonah, it says that he goes up on the east side of the city, and he finds a shelter, he finds a spot to sit at so that he can see the city of Nineveh. And so it kind of gives you a little bit of a glimpse still into Jonah's thinking. You know, even though the people, they repented, and it says the Lord relented, but we see that Jonah, he's up there, and he's still hoping that maybe God is going to destroy these people. You know, maybe they didn't repent. And so he's up there, and he has a spot now where he can see what's going to happen to the city. So when he's up there, it said, the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. And this eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. So kind of an interesting thing happens in the story. It says that the Lord, he arranges for this plant to come up over Jonah's head. And it says that it shades him from the sun, and it... And Jonah, he's very grateful for the plant. You know, he's happy that he has this plant. He has a little bit of shade to help him out. But when you step back for a minute and kind of look at the situation here, you know, here's Jonah. He's our sent one from God. He's the prophet. And he's sitting up there and he's looking out at this city full of people who he is hoping that God is just going to destroy them all. But he's up there and he's thankful that the Lord has given him this little bit of shade so that he can sit up there and watch all these people die and he's going to be comfortable. And I think what we see here is that, yeah, Jonah, he's way more concerned about his comfort. He's way more concerned about himself than he is about all these people that are going to spend an eternity apart from God. So we're going to see the Lord start to do something interesting. It says, but God also arranged for a worm. And the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. And the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and he wished to die. And he said, death is certainly better than this, he exclaimed. So just as quickly this plant, it comes up, it gives him some shade. We see that God sends a worm, and now this plant is dead. And we see that it's super hot, and so Jonah, now he's at the point where he wants to die. And then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah responded, even angry enough to die. So again, we see Jonah, he's at the spot where he just wants to die. And we see that he's angry because this plant is dead. And so that leads us into the final verse of Jonah. It says, then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all of the animals. Should I not feel sorry for such a great city? And so that's the end of the book. It doesn't tell us, doesn't give us another verse to tell us what happens to Nineveh. It doesn't tell us, you know, what Jonah's response is. It just ends right there. And so I wanted to just apply a few of these things that we see in Jonah this morning. And I specifically want to look at that last verse because I think there's a lot caught up in that verse there. So we see that there's this one plant. The plant, it's temporary. It was there one day and then it was gone the next. And Jonah, he didn't create this plant. He had nothing to do with it. And then there's the people of Nineveh. There's 120,000 people. They are eternal, and God created them. And God, he's saying to Jonah that I gave you this plant for one day, and you loved this plant so much. But you didn't put the seed in the ground. You didn't water this plant. You had nothing to do with this plant. And you were so happy when you had it. But then when the plant died, you were upset, you were angry, and you just wanted to die all over this one plant. But there's 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh, people that I created, people that I love, and that are eternal. Yeah, and God's saying, you really want me to destroy all these people out there? And if you care so much about this one plant, is it not right for me to care about all these people that are eternal and they're going to spend an eternity apart from me? And I think the Lord, he ends it on a question like that. Because he's not wanting us to miss the point. He's not wanting us to, get caught up in the other details of the story. He's wanting us to really think and to kind of, just be questioned with this last verse. And so I think something we learn here about God is that God cares about all people. It's not just Jonah and the Israelites, but he also cares about the people of Nineveh. Even though they are an evil city and they are wicked, we see that God loves those people. And God, he doesn't love people and show compassion to people because they are good people and because they've done all these good things. God loves people because it's part of who he is. It's part of his character that he is a compassionate, that he is a loving and gracious God. And God, he's not wishing that anyone should perish. You know, God, his word is not just for a select few people. It's not just for us in this church today, but he wants a relationship with every single person on this earth. And we see that all throughout scripture. In John 2, it says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And in 1 Peter, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so we see this theme all throughout scripture, that God, he is loving and he is compassionate. And we see that he pursues people and he is a God that is on mission and he wants the whole world to know about him and to love him. But we see in this story that Jonah, he doesn't understand that. Jonah, he can't fathom how God would love this evil and this wicked city. And so we see Jonah choosing his own comfort and what he thinks is right. We see that Jonah cared about a plant more than he did about all the people in Nineveh. And it's not that caring about plants and wanting to be comfortable is bad. No, that's okay. But it's when I think we start to put those things before what the Lord has called us to do. If that becomes more important to us than, sharing the gospel with people around us or caring about people, then I think it becomes a problem. And so in this story, we see God inviting Jonah to share the gospel of grace with the people around him. And just like Jonah was called to do that, we are also called to be sharing his message with the people around us. That we've been given the same commandment as Jonah. And we see that in Mark 16, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And so we're called to be sharing the message with the people in our community here. We're called to care for those people, but we're also called to care for everyone, whether that's also playing a part in reaching places that don't have the gospel or don't have his language. We're to be involved in that and to be sharing the message. And we have an awesome opportunity to be involved in something that is eternal, something that is going to go on forever. That we get invest into the souls and the lives of people. And when you think about it, you know, there's not a lot of things that are eternal. There's a lot of temporary stuff like our jobs, our houses, our vacations. A lot of those things, they're just going to pass away. They're going to be temporary like the plant. But when we invest in people, when we care about people, when we share the message, we have an opportunity to be involved in something that is eternal. And it can be easy to compare the plant with Nineveh and say, like, yeah, for sure, we're going to invest in people like Nineveh, right? They're people. They're eternal. Rather than a plant, that seems silly. But I think left to ourselves, a lot of times in life, we are going to care more about the temporary things. We're going to care more about, stuff that is temporary and really pretty meaningless. But thankfully, you know, we're not left to ourselves, that we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have His Word, and He's wanting to transform us to be more like Him. And as we make choices, that He is going to be guiding us and giving us His heart and what He cares about and values. Yeah, so those are a few thoughts that I had from the book of Jonah. And I hope that some of that can be encouraging to you guys this morning. I know that every time I go through the story, I'm always challenged because, I can see myself in Jonah. I can see myself just caring about my comfort, about the temporary things in life. But I'm also always encouraged because I'm reminded that we have one that is greater than Jonah. We have Christ who He wasn't reluctant to do the will of God. He didn't run from God, but we see that He came and He lived among us, that He didn't put His own comfort first, but He came and He shared the message with us. Even though we didn't deserve it, you know, we're like Nineveh, we're evil, we're like Jonah, we don't deserve God's love, but He gave His life so that we could have life. And I think the more that we understand that, the more that we understand just how much grace and how much love we have been given from the Lord, then I think it will, encourage us and challenge us to be more like Him and to value the things that He cares about and that He loves. We want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to be here with you guys. We look forward to getting to know you guys better in the future. And we do just want to thank you so much for your support of us and your prayers. And so I'll just pray for us in closing here. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are a compassionate and loving God. Even when we didn't deserve it, you sent your Son for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through our days, that we could also be sharing that with the people around us, that we could be obedient, Lord, to you, and just see the value and the privilege it is to be your messengers. And so we just pray for the strength to do that, Lord. We pray for your heart, that you would be transforming us and changing us to be more like your Son. And we thank you for, just the story of Jonah, that we can be challenged with it, Lord. And we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love. And we pray this in your name. Amen.